This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. It's a new year, and it's a new me.
Is it? You got that big New Year's resolution, do you?
Nope, you're getting the same old me.
Damn it.
But at least it's me.
Yeah.
I'm back.
At least you're honest about it.
My name is Isaac Lowe.
You're not one of those guys that's showing up to the gym for like 3 days, not knowing what you're doing, and then being like, yeah, I'm never going to do that.
That is not me.
No.
Here is Big Sook.
Oh, dude.
We're back together. And today, we have a new producer starting.
Yes.
His name, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Vaughn.
Little Stevie, as I like to call him, because he loves it so much. Milwaukee's own.
Yep. He's a bald man.
Concordia hoops legend.
Played basketball. What were your stats?
I was actually pretty good. The team was horrible. We were, I believe we got last place, but I was all league. I got like 17, nice. 18 points a night.
Ooh.
Look, he was an empty stat sheet. Look at you, were a black hole.
Yeah.
The ball went in. It wasn't coming back out. Steven was all about getting his.
Hey, I was happy though. I got an honorable mention.
What was your move? What position? I mean, you seem
like. I was a wing. I was a wing, but I could kind of guard anything. I was pretty good on defense. I had the old herky jerky game. I don't really have, you know, as the kids would say, a bag. You know, I can't really like, dribble between the legs. I just kind of go random speed and then Denny Avia style, just lower my shoulder into people. And
I was kind of thinking more like Scalabrini, but you know.
Oh. You know, I played in the same league as Scalabrini.
Did you really?
Yeah, in community college.
Did you ever battle the great Brian Scalabrini?
No, I wish.
Would have been phenomenal.
That would have been great.
Well, it's nice to have you.
Hey, good to be here.
Nice to have a shooter on the show. We've never had a shooter on the show.
No.
You know.
You don't want me out there shooting hoops. It's not going to. I got 5 hard fouls I'm going to give you about, and then I'm going to blow an Achilles. That's about
key role, though. Key role on the team.
It's the extent of my basketball
murder
ability.
Murder people.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You
know. Coming up here at 5:30, we're going to have Joey Harrington on. He's going to join us to talk about, I don't know, probably Oregon.
Yeah, I don't think.
They did win Miami, and now they head to Atlanta to take on Indiana.
And if they win, they have to go back to Miami.
I know.
It's some interesting travel.
It's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
But who cares about that?
Yeah, something tells me that Dan Lanning's not going to harp on that. It's one of my favorite parts about him is I've yet to hear that man make an excuse for anything.
Nope.
And I love that.
No excuses. No. Did you see him on the pregame or on the game day trying to hit the goalpost with the pass?
Yeah, he was out
there. Little arm.
Yeah, he was out there in a suit, too.
Yeah,
he was out there.
So we'll have Joey on the show at 5:30. Up next, we're going to do some NFL because
huge day tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
But the two of the three big ones are on Saturday.
Our Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that Seattle didn't get the standalone Sunday night game, but.
No, that's got to be Ravens Steelers.
Yeah, but both of those teams stink, and the Seahawks and Niners are actually good. So.
Yeah, I just think there's more interest in Ravens Steelers nationwide.
I could see that. Well, it's a great rivalry. It's just that both teams are kind of, dare I say, ass.
So anyway, we'll get to that in our next segment. Of course, the club tonight, 6-7. How long could you stay lying down?
Hmm.
But some headlines today. Brendan Sorsby of Cincinnati, he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
He did not play in their bowl game, and they got housed by Navy in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
I'm a proud... it used to be the AXA Equitable Liberty Bowl, but I am a proud 2-time loser of the Liberty Bowl.
You lost twice?
Twice.
That's a trivia question.
I never won a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. How about would it suck to have to play Navy in a bowl game, too? Like, you had to prep for that? Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, nobody wants. Yeah, the triple option.
So Cincinnati mailed it in. They lost 35-13.
Yeah, it happens.
But
Navy,
Sorsby is
transferring. Navy was good this year.
And they're saying that Sorsby is going to meet with Texas Tech.
Yep.
And he's going to meet with Lane Kiffin down at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers play tonight, if you care.
Yeah. Hey, they're coming off back-to-back wins over your Boston Celtics and a nice... Because they beat Boston, and then they had Dallas, and I was like, well, they beat Boston, which means Dallas is going to blow them out. No, they beat Dallas.
You missed the game.
D- Did I miss one in there?
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Oklahoma City House.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
Why doesn't that count?
Because it's Oklahoma City. Doesn't count. And they're done playing Oklahoma City this year.
Yeah. Got them out of the way.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. And now they're playing.
Knocked them off, too.
Now they're playing the worst team. Well, they knocked them off the first time they played.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you knocked them off.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Well, it was
the Spurs have gotten them a couple times. Yeah, that was their first loss of the year. And now they're playing the worst team in the league. Although
worst team in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Last time they played the worst team in the West.
But housed.
Yeah, New Orleans bitch slapped
them.
Well,
I hate to tell you this, guys, but New Orleans is already out to a 6-0 lead.
Do we know who's playing?
Does it matter?
Yeah, I think it does.
No, the Blazers?
It doesn't.
The Blazers. Nobody.
Nobody's playing and no one cares.
You see, they finally gave us an update and it's all like, we'll see you guys in a month.
Oh my God, it's 7-0.
Did Scoot Henderson's hamstring explode and no one tell us? Like, what?
I think so, yeah.
Well, they don't want to win. They don't care about winning. Why would you care about winning? You're 14-20.
You would assume at some point you would want to see Scoot Henderson back on the floor, right?
Guys, move on.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe next year. New ownership.
Yeah.
New lease on life.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Dundon's coming, so at least there's something.
What else do we have?
Dame is back next year.
Cool.
Uh-oh. Do we have a Blazer hater over there?
I love the Blazers, but as a former Blazer employee who got laid off, there is a little bit of me that does not like them.
Hey, you guys both have something in common.
Yeah.
You both
them together.
You've both been canned by the Blazers.
Gambling and canned by the Blazers.
We have TJ Watt going to play. We have Lamar Jackson going to play Sunday night.
Yeah.
So that's good. And Josh Allen is good to go.
Yeah.
He has, you know, he's the longest active quarterback start streak.
Does he really?
In the NFL.
I guess they still have seeding. They can't win their division, but I guess they still have seeding. He's been battling that foot and he keeps claiming that there's nothing wrong with it. Well, you keep x-rated after games and watching him limp around. That's one of those. Keep an eye on that because their offense is basically, we're going to run 12, 13 personnel, and if we can't run the ball, oh my God, Josh, please put on your cape and do something. And if he's limping around out there, that's a huge deal if he's not anywhere near 100%.
127 game consecutive start streak.
What is Brett Favre's streak? Because I know he's the longest, which, you know, granted, that's fueled by pills and sending nude pictures to interns, but still, it's
297.
That is one. And I know the Cal Ripken thing is phenomenal, but no offense to baseball players. Brett Favre playing in the era that he played in when you could actually hit quarterbacks, playing damn near 300 straight games, that is the most insane streak. Like, that shit just shouldn't happen.
321 if you count playoffs.
The era has become.
He wasn't even a big guy. Josh Allen at least is built like Ben Roethlisberger. Favre is not a big guy. I've seen the photos. It's amazing what he was able to accomplish on Vicodin and Coors Lights.
Well, I think that's it for headlines. I think we have a couple other bowl games today, but they're not any good.
Yeah, there's a couple of the games that are still straggly.
Still scraggly bowl games after the playoff games is weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It always is.
But there's no good ones, I think. I think SMU plays Arizona maybe tonight.
Yeah, there's no more.
Mississippi State plays.
They're on right now. It's
Wake.
Yeah, Wake.
Yeah, that's the Duke Mayo Bowl. And then the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl, that's later tonight. That's the Arizona SMU.
Trust and Will Holiday Bowl?
Trust and Will Holiday Bowl. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's the last of them.
Yeah, because Texas Tech played. Good. They drilled Rice today. The new Pac-12 Texas State, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
They're in that, yeah.
That's a pretty good program. Right?
Yeah.
Aren't they new? And
yeah, everyone wanted Texas. Everyone wanted Texas State.
They supposedly got a lot of money to spend. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes, this is the Duke Mayo Bowl, and then the Holiday Bowl tonight will be the last of the non-playoff bowl games.
And then we've got the semifinals on Friday.
Yes.
The Ducks play. You'll have that on the fan. Okay, so when we come back, let's look ahead to week 18 in the NFL. My Seahawks can wrap up the number one seed with a win in San Francisco. We'll get to that next. Then Joey Harrington on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, we're going to have to get the Joey Harrington, the patented Joey Harrington like worry meter this week because no Friday show next week.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the working game here. So he's going to have to be prepared.
We can bring him on before that.
I guess we could. You're
right. Do like a Wednesday, Thursday. Right. Hell, you could do a Tuesday.
But I'm interested to know what he thinks of the rematch between Oregon and Indiana. And guess what? We're going to find out because he's coming up in 10 minutes. But week 18 in the NFL, which always sounds weird to say, but they do have 18 weeks.
Yes, they do.
No. And we've got the Seahawks taking on the Niners for all the marbs.
Mm-hmm. Winner gets the bye and the number one seed. And
yeah. After like 3 weeks ago, well, I guess after the, I don't know when it was, but it was not that long ago, after Darnold threw four picks and the Rams beat the Seahawks, we thought for sure it would be the Rams winning the NFC West.
Yeah, not so fast. The Rams kind of imploded down the stretch. And the Rams were my Super Bowl pick going into the year. And all year, I just keep kind of making excuses for them. But honestly, when you look at the games that the Rams have blown, I just don't think you can trust them. I mean, I know that there's parts of the Seahawks that I don't love. See, their offense and their run game crosses out of this. The Niners, obviously, it's injuries. I mean, at some point, their offensive injuries. I don't even know if Trent Williams is going to play in this. He's got the hammy. But, I mean, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams. I mean, at some point, the injury should be too much to overcome. And then you look at the Rams, and you say, well, the Rams don't have any of those problems. And yet, the Rams have gacked away so many games, including a game against Seattle, the horrible game against the Eagles. I can't trust the Rams. I mean, their special teams are awful. They fouled their special teams coordinator. So I honestly don't know what to make of any one of these three. I think Seattle should beat San Francisco, but hell if I can figure this division out.
Well, Seattle has Darnold, and you don't love that.
No.
And he's good, but doesn't he have more turnovers than anybody else?
I don't know about that, but he certainly turns the ball over.
And then the Niners have a defense that you and I could score on.
Yes.
And then the Rams are like that. They just blow leads like the freaking Ravens.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to trust in there either.
I don't think you can trust anyone, but it's the toughest division in football, so.
I got to tell you, well, yeah, there's some of the top team. I think Seattle beats San Francisco this weekend.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow,
You think the Niners get them? Well, it's in San Francisco.
No, so. I think the Seahawks
get them. Oh, you think the Seahawks get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because, and it may be recency bias, but my God, watching Chicago just go up and down the field on San Francisco's defense, they can't stop anybody.
Sam Darnold, third in the NFL in interceptions thrown.
But he also has some fumbles.
Right. I just looked up interceptions.
Who's top two picks?
Geno Smith and Tua.
That's not the company you want to be in.
No. So that's what I'm saying.
Someone put this out. So the Rams this year, They were 8.5-point favorites against the Niners and gacked that game away. They were a 10-point favorite against the Panthers, who stink, despite them probably being in the playoffs, lost that. They lost a 7-point game against the Falcons where they got the doors blown off of them. And everyone was like, what the hell was that? Remember they gacked the 26-7 lead against the Eagles, which was the most inexcusable game to lose. And then the Seahawks, 13-14 with 6.5 minutes to play, and they found a way to
31-14.
Lose. 31-14? And they found a
you
way.
You said 13-14.
Oh, excuse me. 30-14.
Which would be weird.
30-14.
31-14.
No, it was 30.
Oh, it was 30. Okay.
30-14 with 6.5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. We're taunting Seahawks players and then found a way to lose the game. I did not think that you could blow a game worse than they did against the Eagles. And they were like, hold my beer. So I don't know what to make of it.
Who needs the game more, Seattle or San Francisco?
I think San Francisco needs it.
You think Seattle and Sam Darnold can go on the road and win playoff games?
I think their defense, I'm a believer of defense travels. And so given the two, yes. And McDonald has been really good away from
really good. The record's Century incredible.
Link. I always forget what the hell that thing is called now.
The Link.
The Link. They have been really good. And I just trust, I trust a defense to travel. Whereas the Niners, I mean, Brock Purdy's on a heater right now, but I don't know. I just, you can't win with that level of defensive injury. So I think that the Niners need to win this more than the Seahawks do.
Then we got Tampa and Carolina for the division. So it's for a playoff spot, right?
Yeah. Tampa's 1-7, by the way, in their last eight games.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're all, they're
yeah,
awful.
They've melted down.
Not just a playoff spot, Rob. Home game. Home in the game. Playoffs.
Right. Yes. But then the loser is out, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Well, the loser's out. They would need a cavalcade of errors. Yes. It's winner go home. Winners in, losers
so
out.
So who do we trust there? Tampa's been melting down.
The Panthers will win this game.
You think so?
Yeah. The Panthers are a better team right now than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that's weird, but I'm telling you, Tampa effing stinks. And I think something's wrong with Baker Mayfield. I do. I think he's injured. He cannot push the ball downfield. Baker is dealing with something. It wouldn't shock me if after the season we found out he needs to have surgery. This reminds me of Cleveland, the last year in Cleveland, when we were asking what's wrong with Baker. Something's going on there. Something is not right. They are in complete and total meltdown mode. And Carolina, on the other hand, my working theory on the Carolina Panthers. Carolina against average to bad teams, they're fine. Like they're adequate. They play hard. They're schematically they're fundamentally sound. But when they play better teams, they just get suffocated. See, like when they played Seattle. And Seattle tried to let them in that game, and they can't take advantage of it. So they're not a bad team. They just have a limit to where they're at. The Buccaneers are legitimately a bad team right now. They just are.
Yeah, actually, for the Panthers, guys, all they need is the Falcons to beat the Saints, and the Panthers are in. So the Panthers can lose.
I thought they needed like three things to get in.
No, either.
So the Panthers can lose in Tampa, and if the Falcons win.
And the Falcons beat the Saints, the Panthers are in the playoffs.
Are they really?
Yes.
Jesus. Boy, so we're going to get both of those teams in there, maybe?
No. That would just
the division would go their way.
I got you.
I thought, man, maybe it was because of what last week's result, but I thought they needed like three or four wonky things.
Right, yeah, because the Falcons beat the Rams. I think that threw everything off.
That's right.
Now, yeah, you said the Panthers melt down when it comes to good teams. They beat the Rams.
They beat the Rams.
And they won at Green Bay.
Look.
Those are pretty nice wins.
Yeah. Against better teams, they put up 10 against the Seahawks. Who was it? The Bills absolutely blew the doors off of them. Carolina is a plucky team that plays hard, but they just don't have the horses. And Bryce Young against good defenses looks like Bryce Young.
Bryce Young is horrible.
Yes. They scored 7 points, I think, against the Saints. Dude, they're not good. The Niners choked them out.
I don't think anyone's saying they're good.
They're better than...
But we're talking about the Bucs, too.
They stuck around with Seattle last week for a little bit.
Yeah, again, but they can't score. And by the way, the Seahawks, Lumen Field. I don't know why I keep calling it Lumen.
Oh, I thought it was the CenturyLink.
No, it's Lumen.
It used to
be CenturyLink. Now it's Lumen Field.
Didn't they call it the Clink?
It's been Lumen for a while, so.
Get it?
I see.
And then who do we like? Steelers, Ravens. Do you think the tides have turned and the Ravens are...
I don't. Both of these teams are just maddening to me. Maddening. I'm done picking the Ravens. I keep... The Ravens are my new... Yeah. Like... I want to believe.
You and me both, dude.
But they're not good.
They wrote me
They've
back
cost
in.
Me a lot of money this year.
They're not,
same.
Yeah.
I can't quit John Harbaugh.
No.
He makes me so mad.
Well,
does Harbaugh kind of stink as a coach now?
Yes. I think he should be fired if they do not. I'm serious. I think he should be fired.
I agree.
If they don't win this game.
The problem that they...
Losing coach gets fired.
There you go.
What if?
Well, it sounds like...
Pack your bags, Tomlin.
There's a rumor that if Pittsburgh loses, that Tomlin will sit out a year, do TV, and then he'll be the Mike Vrabel of the next coaching cycle. Something's wrong with Lamar, and it's not going to magically get fixed. And I think he's just beat up, but I think so much of what the Ravens are is simply, much like I said with Josh Allen, Lamar puts a cape on. Lamar Jackson, when healthy, is a force multiplier that covers up a lot of the deficiencies of the Ravens. And at the beginning of the year, their defense was so stinking bad, but like they do every year, they worked it out, they got better in the secondary, and their defense doesn't stink anymore. But we keep waiting for Lamar Jackson to put on the cape, and it's not coming. It's not. It hasn't come all year, and it's not going to. So,
did they figure out the formula though against the Packers? Just run 35 times with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but here's what the Ravens will do: they'll just stop doing it for some reason,
inexplicably.
That
Chiefs game, the AFC Championship game a couple years ago. They didn't run; they just passed.
I can't. I'm done. I'm done believing in the Ravens. So until they prove me otherwise, the only saving grace here is I think Pittsburgh isn't a real team either.
Ravens beat them the first time.
I just have no...
They didn't beat them, technically.
Yes.
But they did.
Yes.
I mean, the likely touchdown, that was the one that was called back.
Yep.
I mean, they beat them. For all intents and purposes,
the Ravens should win this game. The Ravens should
win. Well,
they
are favored.
They should win this
game. On the road.
They should win this game.
3.5 is the number.
It's crazy because in these games, Seattle's favored on the road.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh's favored on the... Or Baltimore's favored on the road.
That's right. Yeah. And Tampa's favored over Carolina.
Yeah, 3. I think it's 3, but Tampa's home.
Yeah, I think Seattle and Baltimore, I think the two road favorites get it done. I don't know about the Tampa-Carolina game.
I'll tell you, the game that I have the least faith in one team, I give you the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you could say, oh, Baker, something's wrong. But then all I have to say is Bryce Young.
Dude,
checkmate.
They have not won a game. They are 1-7, and the one win
in that looked bad
is the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe Bowles will get fired. They lose this game, Bowles might be the guy to go.
Probably. They have lost to the Patriots. Now, to be fair, the schedule is tougher than some of the others. They have lost to the Bills, the Patriots, the Rams, the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Dolphins. They are drowning. Todd Bowles is up there bitching and moaning about people caring. Levante David all of a sudden looks like he's 1,000 years old. Baker Mayfield looks injured. That team is just, they're drowning. All they had to do, they couldn't beat the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, or Dolphins, and they wouldn't be in this spot. And I know that the Saints all of a sudden are playing better, but like, I mean, you, really? Like,
yeah, you got to win in Miami with Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So Carolina's going to win this. Carolina's going to be a playoff team.
Come on, man. All right. Coming up next, Joey Harrington will tell us what he sees when he watches Dante Moore and Oregon's chances against Indiana. The former Duck quarterback joins us when we return for his weekly hit here on The Fan. But first, here is Stephen with SportsCenter. All right. Welcome back. We've got Stephen on the keys over there.
It's the learning game.
Yeah. Well, he's being trained by a 12-year-old.
Who doesn't really know what he's doing and is wearing a Yankee hat and Steeler jacket. So there's a lot happening right now behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, I just, selfishly, I love the Joey Harrington intro song.
Agreed.
And I sing along to it.
Yeah. And now it's not here.
And the guys missed it today. That's okay.
Can we get it in the second segment?
Yeah,
perhaps?
Maybe the second segment. Yeah, I think that's right.
I would like to hear it.
That's right. But anyway.
The other day I was listening to the Fall Guy theme song, and it puts me in a good mood. It's the same, those 80s themes, they just work.
Well, I mean, the man writes the song, writes and performs the song. The least we can do is play the damn thing.
Agreed.
Joey, can you read me?
What the hell just happened?
What? What did you say?
I said, what the hell just happened there?
Well, yeah. They didn't play the open. We got Steven, who we're very happy to have. He's our new producer. He screwed up.
It's on me.
Steven?
Yeah.
Steven, he looks like a Steven. Steven, let me tell you why I suck as a salesman. Let's say I got this guy. He's even remotely interested in buying something. That's why I get all excited. Like, Joe, the nobody? Nothing?
You text me that today.
I sent that to you earlier.
I know.
And I got nothing. Dude, I got crickets.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh.
Suk doesn't know.
He's
my
pretty new pet. I love my pet. You're naughty. It's a naughty pet. And that's when I take my pet and I go,
what is that?
That's Chris Farley. That's Chris Farley.
From what?
Tommy Boy.
I killed it. I killed my possible sale. That's when people like me, Rob, you and me, Rob, we got to move on.
Yeah. It's the chicken.
Nothing?
It's the old chicken wings.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you got the meat lover's pizza in the trunk. We're good. I can turn the fire back on if you want to.
Yeah, you can't rap movie quotes on rap. You're just,
I just don't.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how you are one and Suka's one too. I think that's an amazing ability that you guys have to remember.
Spin in and out of them?
Yeah, you guys remember all these lines. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It wasn't Steven. It was Helen. I mean, let's be honest here. It wasn't. But you threw Steven out there today. I was like, Steven, who's Steven? Steven, you look like a Steven.
I knew where he was going with it. There's nothing worse, though, than when you have a great one and it goes on deaf ears. A little bit of you dies inside.
I got straight crickets this afternoon. It's like, hey, we got a new producer, Steven, and, you know, hey, we good? And nothing. I got nothing back.
Yeah, I didn't respond. I forgot to respond to
it. Joe, you will appreciate it. The worst one, it made me
like when I extended an invite to the sing-along to Suk. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I would like to point out, I did not get an invite. I was never invited. That never made it to me. So, yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, you weren't here.
You could have. He could have texted.
He could have.
Didn't. The worst one I ever had is
what
I was
a jerk. This guy is.
I know. It made me question my whole relationship. We were in Mexico, and down in outside of PV is the jungle that I guess they filmed Predator in. And me and the missus were hiking through the jungle, and I was dropping Predator quotes because I told her, I was like, this is the Predator jungle. And I got cut on like a, I don't know, there's like a barbed wire thing that we kind of had to climb over. And I got a cut and I was bleeding. And I walked for like 10 minutes waiting for her to notice that she could say, you're bleeding. And then I could turn and I went, I ain't got time to bleed. And she responded with, oh, what are you talking about? Let's ban. I'm like, no, no.
Say the right thing.
Predator, say the right. She just looked at me. She's like, what? You're bleeding. I was like, damn it. It's like I was waiting for like 10 minutes. I was like, she has to understand. She's going to remember. She didn't. And a little bit of me died inside.
He has no response.
Deep breath. That's all you can do is just like take a deep breath and reset and say, you know what? Not everybody thinks the way that we do. Yeah. And that's what makes the world so great.
But a little bit, it hurts.
That is what makes the world
hurt. It does.
By the way, P1 Augie is in. He says one of his favorite all-time memories at University of Oregon is Joey quoting Tommy Boy to him on the front porch of Rennie's the night before your graduation.
I probably said the same damn line that I just said a minute ago.
Probably did. Well, fella, they are in the semis. Looked pretty good against Texas Tech, right? I mean, you know. Pretty good.
Pretty good. That was the greatest defensive performance I've seen from an Oregon football team.
Yes.
It was. Really? And I was trying to think, like, those Haloti defenses were incredible. Like, and I'm sure there have been, you know, obviously there have been shutouts before, but, like, this was another level. This was dominant. This was like, at no point was there ever even a moment where I was like, oh, this, even when Texas Tech was down in the red zone, I wasn't nervous. Like, yeah. This was as good an Oregon defensive performance as I have ever seen.
How much of that was Texas Tech's offense?
I would argue that Oregon's defense created Texas Tech's offense. Like, sure. Did QB miss the ball? First interception. He missed a bit inside. Incredible break on that on the route. But I mean, I'm going back to the last interception. He completely baited him into throwing that ball. Right. I saw exactly what the quarterback was thinking. He was thinking, I've got man coverage. I've got pressed up top. I got a corner out coming over the top, and my outside guys are going to draw coverage, and I'm going to loft it over the top inside receiver on a linebacker for a touchdown. And he dropped right underneath it. Like, this was forced fumbles. This was corners making tackles on the edges. This is safeties driving up and meeting people in the hole. This was strips, you know, not strip sacks. You know, this was fumbles that land. Like, they created all of this. This wasn't Texas Tech being inept. This was created by an Oregon defense that played absolutely phenomenal.
I agree, but I do think two things can be true. And this was, I said going into it, I did not think Texas Tech's offense was very good at all. And I think those numbers were way overblown. That being said, Oregon's defense was phenomenal, but I thought from a game plan standpoint and from an execution standpoint, I thought Texas Tech was atrocious. And yes, you do have to give Oregon a lot of credit for forcing a lot of those. But there's a reason why Morton was crying on the sidelines in the third quarter. And some of those balls, you can't throw. You can't. Not when you're in playing for a national title. And on that play that you're talking about, the one in the corner of the end.
Which ball? Well, he can't throw the ball to the end zone. He made a massive mistake on the corner out to the end zone. I mean, the corner dropped underneath it, completely baited him.
Well,
and as somebody who has been baited in that exact same situation, I know what he was thinking. I know what he saw.
Well, the other one, too, that I'll and this is where I say it's not just on Morton. So the outside receiver. So we got a little 3x3. Going there on Oregon. So it does look, man, you got kind of a linebacker safety kind of hanging around there, but it does look 3-on-3. If you're that outside receiver, my God, he runs two steps and stops.
stops. Like, exactly. I mean, your job is to occupy the corner so that he can't do that.
I could not believe it is 13-0. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm like, it's 13-0, and you know that fade is coming. And that outside receiver, boy, if that guy didn't get an old-fashioned ass chewing, and that's what I'm saying, like, top to bottom, it wasn't just on Morton. I don't know what Texas Tech's offense. I don't know if they just were demoralized at that point, but there were.
Okay, but who created the demoralization?
Morton's defense, right?
And that's my and that's my point. Yeah. Is Texas Tech didn't stink. Texas Tech didn't come in as the worst offense in college football.
No, they didn't.
Texas Tech was put into that mindset. Yeah. They were put into a place where they felt like they could not do anything because of the play of the Oregon defense. And yes, you're right. There were on any play in the second half, you could pick out a guy who was not giving you effort. Who was, you know, you go back into the film room and there's a loaf and there's a loaf.
It was shocking.
And there's a loaf.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But that was created because of what Oregon did in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that. I think that's a fair statement.
Okay, well, let's talk about the offense then. How about that? We'll do that coming up next with our friend Joey Harrington here, courtesy of Mons PDX on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Waking up on Monday, and the coffee just can't quite wash away last night's six pack of hams. Tuesday brings the promise of making things all right, but you still drive to work in your family's minivan. The doctor calls on Wednesday, right before your flight, to talk about your colorectal exam. You're back to work on Thursday and your boss is all uptight, 'cause you didn't push your best-selling brand. But now it's the Friday drive and it's story time. Yes, it's story time. The one time a week when you can truly plan to kick back and listen to story time. Yes, it's story time. We're pushing it out on every airwave we can. We're on both 105.1 and 1080 The Fan. Part of The Fan's Global Sports Radio Network.
There it is.
That feels better.
It feels so much better.
There you go.
Joey, hello?
Hi.
Hello? We got you.
Rights have been wrong.
We got your open there. So,
hope I was listening. Yeah. I heard that.
Do you sing along with it?
Do I sing along with it? No, but I do like, oh man, I wish I would have had like a screen guard on the P for the pops or
yeah,
like, I wonder
that.
Like, yeah. And then I was like, well, I kind of did it all on my phone on like the GarageBand thing. I was like, man, there's a lot of echo. Like maybe I could have done so I kind of sit there and critique
well,
it.
Well, maybe
but,
we
know,
need
like,
to reproduce it. Yeah. Let's reproduce it.
You know, the remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remix. Oh, we could bring in like a band.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like
we're digressing.
I can be on the tambourine if you want. I'm just saying.
I'll do backup vocals.
Fair. Okay, you can hit the harmonies.
Yeah. Right. So the offense. Let's talk about the Oregon offense. I'm curious, as a man who played the position, about your thoughts on Dante Moore. Where do you think Dante Moore is on the learning curve of playing the quarterback position at a high level?
Frame that a little more for me, and let me ask a question back. Are we talking about in terms of his total potential, or are we talking about in terms of college football?
No, I think college football. I think where he is right now. I mean, I see good poise, but there's an experience there, and I want to see what you think when you watch him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you said I can't remember what the exact term is, college football journey or potential or where he is, and I immediately thought like, okay, is he like 75 out of 100 or like what can he turn into in the NFL? Look, what he did what are we, week 8, week 9, when he was void of any wide receivers, right? Goes to the throw he made at Iowa, that the way he managed the game against Wisconsin, you know, essentially like not throwing an incompletion in November. Like, there was a maturity that happened, right? We saw a potential. We saw, you know, like, oh man, this guy could be really good at the beginning of the season. And then he had a stretch and was forced upon him, right? A lot of quarterbacks learn this over the course of a year or two, or they, you know, hey, yeah, you get a little bit in week 2 and then you get some in week 7. He had a stretch there right in the middle of the season where he had to manage this team, right? And that's always got such a horrible connotation. It's, you know, you think, well, he's a game manager. That means he can't be explosive and he's not a good quarterback. No. Your number one job as a quarterback is to manage that offense, is to know what everybody out there is doing, is to know what your right guard is doing, to know what the slot receiver on the left side is doing, to know that I don't like the matchup of my running back chipping off the DN, to know that I got a 6'4" receiver on a 5'10" corner, and I like the matchup of throwing a fade over there. Like, to truly understand what everybody is doing, how it fits together, and then what you do to facilitate that. And sometimes that means not taking chances. Sometimes that means, and it's such an overused cliche, just taking what the defense gives you. And that's what he did for about, let's call it 3 or 4 weeks. And that's something that a lot of quarterbacks take years to learn. And in this game against Texas Tech, it absolutely paid dividends, because you know what a lot of younger quarterbacks would do in this situation? They would have forced a ball. They would have tried to make a play on their own. They would have, how many times do we see him hitting the running back out of the backfield? 5-step drop, 1,001, 1,002, nope. Back late release, hits him in the flat. Like, did he get massive big plays? No, he didn't. But he also didn't turn the ball over. He didn't give Texas Tech an opportunity to explode. He didn't make big plays, but he's also getting his head beat in for, you know, half of the first half. So where is he on his journey? I think he is on the verge of becoming somebody, and special isn't, you know, is too small of a word, right? If he comes back to college football next year, there is a very clear opportunity that he could win a national championship and a Heisman Trophy. That's the reality of what he is.
So,
and he could also leave right now and go to the NFL and be a potential top 10 pick and have a tremendous NFL career, right? So that's the question, is like, what are we comparing this against? What's the situation?
Well, I think what I had in my head was his ultimate college potential. In other words, leading to the question that you just brought up, and that is, if he were to come back, I guess my next question would be, in what ways would he be better? Like, what is the next
He'd be
step?
Explosive and efficient.
Yeah.
Okay. He would take those. He would, in games this season where, what was the final score at Iowa? 14-13 or something like
18,
that?
I mean, I want to say it was 18-16 off the top of my head.
18-16.
I mean, what?
18-16, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. Those types of games, he would grab it by the throat, and he would, like, there is a knowledge and a confidence. So I'm trying to think of how to best describe this. What he did extremely well for a month of the season is not make a mistake. He learned that my job here is to make sure we get to the other side. If he comes back to college football next year in those situations, he will have already said, now I know exactly how I'm going to make sure we get to the other side, and I'm going to throw this dagger down your throat right now. Game over. Thanks so much. Right? That's the difference. is he had dagger moments this year, and he had efficient moments this year. To combine those all throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a season, it would be surgical in what he would do next year.
I would like to see him, if he comes back, I would like to see the pocket presence get a little better. I think he's actually better out of the pocket than he is in the pocket. I would like to see him manipulate the pocket a little more. I'd like to see him use his legs a little bit more, because I do think he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. And
this is very Bo Nix-ish in what you're saying. Yes. Right now, there was a moment where he took a sack, and we're laying on the couch there, and you know, it's 9:17 in the morning on New Year's Day, and it's like, what the hell are we watching the Ducks for? And number 31, and forgive me, I can't remember the Texas Tech's D-end, comes off the end for like the 17th time, and instead of stepping forward in the pocket and letting him run by, Dante backed up. He felt the pressure and took a step back, and wham, sack, boom. And I said to Jack and Emily, I was like, if he would have just taken a step forward, that guy goes right by him and he delivers the ball right over the middle. And that's exactly the little things that Bo Nix did from junior to senior year, right? And we saw the progression of how surgical he could be between those two. That's a great point in what he could do to get better between now and then.
But I think, you know, the ball comes off of his hand, and I think if he comes out, and I don't know if he does or not, I think he'll be the number one pick. I think Mendoza's going to get picked apart a little bit. I think he's an RPO guy. I think he's very rigid, and I think he's more of – he's a really smart guy that plays in a system and is well-coached. He knows how to play that system. That's not a system that works in the NFL. I think when you watch Dante Moore, I think people are – I just think if those are the two going head-to-head, I'll put a significant amount of money that Dante Moore goes ahead of Mendoza. I just love the way the ball comes off of his hands. And I think people forget, so he's got, 14 starts? And I don't count any of the UCLA stuff. He's played 14 games. I think he's just scratching the surface of how good he can be. It's just a matter of whether he chooses to hone that craft in college or take $55 guaranteed million dollars and go be a top three pick.
Which is exactly why I posed the question back, is like, you know, what's the question about? Is it, what is his ceiling? What could his ceiling be in the NFL? It could be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, because Joey brought it up. We've seen the throw against Penn State in overtime, the throw to Washington, Benson in between four guys that broke the game up against Washington open. The throw against Iowa is the best. You won't find a better throw in college football all year.
No.
And so there are these moments. And when those moments become regular, when there's three or four of those a game, again, let's go back to the Texas Tech one. That ended up being a close game, obviously, for three quarters. If he recognizes that safety that's playing in the middle of the field, if he recognizes that safety is coming downhill, instead of, oh, crap, there's a safety in the middle field, I can't throw the post. No, that safety's flat-footed. If I put some air under this, I've got Sadiq.
Cut it loose.
He cuts it loose. That's a touchdown, and that game is over quicker. And we've seen him make that throw, see the one at Penn State. It's just... that's that recognition, and I think that only comes with time, you know. But
it's an interesting thing too, because being able to have that recognition or being able to have that experience for another year at the collegiate level, and still being good and so much better than everybody else that you can say, oh, I see it, I get it, I learn. Versus going to the NFL and having somebody's face mask in your jaw and having your job up for grabs and having a coaching staff waiting to get fired, right? And trying to learn in that situation, like there's no guarantee that is going to, I mean. There's no guarantee that is going to turn into future success in the NFL, but those are the type of things that he can learn by coming back for another year in college.
Gee, I wonder who we could talk to on the show about that type of experience. Okay, so.
But I played 5 years, so, you know, I was, it's a little bit different. That's why I kind of paused. I was like, well, but it's a little different because he's still young. Yeah.
Okay, so, well, hopefully we can get you on early next week because obviously the game is on Friday. So we'll have the game and not you on Friday. Oh. So we'll get more into Indiana. But I just wanted your initial thought when you saw that Indiana clobbers Alabama, and now you're like, okay, Indiana rematch. What was your initial thought?
They're really good.
Too good?
They're too good now. No.
Yeah.
No, it's always tough to beat a team twice. And I think it's fair to say that they are – they're the favorite to win the national championship. I think them being the favorite right now is a fair money line. Yeah. They've shown it. And you have to give them credit. Credit them for coming into Autzen and beating us. Credit them for beating Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. Credit them for absolutely boat racing Alabama in the Rose Bowl. You have to respect that. And at the same time, if Oregon's defense plays the way they did against Texas Tech, like, oh boy, we could have a good one there.
Yeah. All right, well, are you ready for a Thursday hit next week?
Oh, Thursday. Oh, school's back. Yes. Yes, I can, I think, hopefully. Yes, yeah. We can do
it. Kids
are
back
not?
In school. Let's do it.
Anything for you. Anything for you guys.
You're the best. All right, thank you, Joey. Have a great weekend.
We lost him.
Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mons PDX, the future of building is here. Yeah, we'll try to get him on Thursday, preview Indiana, and then the game. You know, of course, we'll have the game and all the pregame stuff and all that stuff.
I'm excited. Friday. And by the way, to beat Indiana.
I am too.
Like,
Great game.
Again, I was very complimentary there of Dante Moore, and I think Dante Moore is going to go really high in the draft. Dante Moore has to be a lot better against Indiana. I thought he was confused. I thought he was unsure of where he was going with the ball. And a lot of those sacks, not all of them, but a lot of those sacks were coverage. I don't know where to go with the ball. See, and Indiana will do that to people. And in order to beat Indiana, he has to, the second time around, see their fastball and adjust to it.
He does. But this is what worries me. Is, you know, you just heard Joey talk about the progression of a quarterback.
Yep.
And what, couple that with what you just said, realistically,
it's tough.
That doesn't happen. Like, it takes time.
It takes time.
It doesn't just happen overnight or in a week.
Nope.
Particularly against a defense as good as Indiana. Yep. That's what really scares me about this game.
Yep.
Is I'm just not sure Dante Moore is quite as good as he is. Mm-hmm. He's not quite there yet in that evolution. And we saw that the first time they played.
Yes, and I totally see where you're coming from that, or where you're coming from on that. I would just hope that Will Stein and company, the second time around, will be like, we got fooled so many times. Let's not get fooled again. But Indiana has fooled just about everyone that they've played. That defense may not be as talented as Texas Tech's, but they're better disciplined, and they just don't make mistakes, and they hunt. And I love what Cignetti and company do over there.
Is it as simple as if Oregon can block? They can block that front line, they're going to win.
But it's not necessarily a blocking thing. Again, it's a lot of confusion. To go back and look at some of their pressures, Indiana doesn't really blitz six and seven guys. They'll bring four. They just bring four from where you don't think it's coming. So it's a matter of if they bluff you into thinking, hey, we're coming over here, and now we bring two off the edge, that guy's unblocked. I mean, that's where Indiana really specializes. Oh, hey, we're giving you a cover three look. Well, it's not cover three because we rotated our safeties. And they just are really good at, think what the NFL does. They make you pre-snap, the look is never what it appears to be. And so once the ball snapped, you have to be able to adjust to it. And Dante Moore was not able to adjust to what Indiana, and the offensive line too. The offensive line was not able to adjust to Indiana's looks. And then the run game just didn't really get going against them because it's really hard to run against Indiana.
Yeah, they're going to need the run game for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, more on that game next week. We move on to the club. Who won the most recent laying down competition? And how long could you stay laying down? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.